Okay.
Let's see. We have spent quite a few months on 1 John now, and we are coming to the end of the chapter now. Remember when we first started and we talked about when John wrote this, he was probably in his 90s or even 100 years old, and he wrote this as a very old man. But he wrote to you as something that was very personal, because he starts from chapter 1, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And this is Jesus that he's talking about. Someone that is personal to him. He has heard, he has seen, he has touched. Something that is very personal to him, and hopefully is personal to you as well. And we know that when Jesus called his disciples, each of them, they were carrying on with the occupation. And amazingly, that, and especially for Peter, John, and Paul, that the occupation that they are doing was the same thing that God wanted them to do when they are spiritually later on in their ministry. Watchman Nee wrote a book or preached a message called What Shall This Man Do? And he talked about that. Remember when God called Peter, he was a fisherman. And Jesus called him to be a fisher of men, that he will fish men as he fish, in the sense that he preached and 3,000 got saved, he preached again, 5,000 got saved. Then later on we saw Paul, and we know Paul's occupation was a tent maker. He built tents. And Paul's ministry in the church was building up the church. He was traveling many places, he'd gone to places, like for example in Ephesus, he would stay there for a few years, building up the saints, and then he moved on again to go to another place that God has called him to. His ministry is building up the church. But we come to John. Remember what John was doing when God called him? When Jesus called him? He was with his brother, mending the nets, isn't it? So as the church was being built up, and then many years has passed, persecution has came, and the believers suffer a lot. They're being dispersed to all parts of Asia, Asia Minor, and their problems start arising. They start to have holes in the church, that false prophets, false teachers start coming in and preaching wrong doctrines. And John's ministry was mending the nets. He was mending that the holes, the problems that's now existing in the church. And John's ministry, as he wrote 1 John, he starts seeing false prophets, false teachers coming in and deceive many people. And he was basically writing this from this standpoint. And in 1 John, we saw things that John emphasized on. That is a mark, that was a symbol of true Christianity. And that symbol, that mark, is love for God and love for one another. That is the true mark. Because other religions tell you to love too. Even the Muslims tell you that you must love. When after I got saved, I was, I don't know how, I somehow got a copy of a testimony of an Indonesian pastor. And his name was Yusuf Roni. And in those days, we don't have internet, right? I'm not sure how I got it, but somehow it was given to me. It was in Indonesian. It was written in Indonesian. And he, in fact, before he became a pastor, he was actually a Muslim cleric. He was a youth leader in a very big mosque in Indonesia. And one of the tasks that was given to him was that he was to search the Bible to find out faults in the Bible so that he can attack the Christians, Christian belief. And he did diligently search the Bible and compare with the Quran. And what he found was something he could not understand. He said the Bible talk about love. And the Quran also talk about love. But one thing that marked the Bible different to the Quran is that the Bible tell you how you can love. But the Quran didn't. The Quran said you must love. But then it gives you no answer to how you can love with God's love. And what did the Bible say? that was convicting Yusuf Ronnie's heart. The Bible says that love was shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, that Jesus, when Jesus died for us on the cross, and through the Holy Spirit, His life now live in us, and through that Holy Spirit's power, it enable us to therefore to go and to love with God's love. And that's so convicting Yusuf Ronnie's heart, that in the end, he cannot to attack Christian anymore. But he himself went to see a Baptist minister and said to him, "Please baptize me." The Baptist minister said, "Oh, I know who you are. I'm not going to do that." I said, "Just do it. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptize me." And after Yusuf Ronnie was baptized, he went and started writing gospel tracts in Jawi, in the Arabic language. Because in Indonesia, when everyone saw Arabic script, they think that it's about the Quran, that they will take out and read. And when they start reading, they say, "Oh, it's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ." And soon he got into trouble. People start to try to kill him. And in the end, the police, local police, actually put him in prison. Not because he's done something wrong, but to protect him, basically. So they lock him up for a few years until things quiet down, then they let him go. And then he became a pastor and preaching the gospel quite powerfully in Indonesia. Yusuf Ronnie. Similarly, here in John, it tells us how we can love. If we are truly children of God, we should be able not just to love God, but to be able to love one another. And that's the John, the first letter of John that we have read, and I believe that it's useful for us now to reflect upon what John has taught us so far through the various sharings, through news messages, to John, Daly, Jonathan, myself, and we few people, we have started sharing about the content of 1 John, and I hope that these things will deeply convicting your heart that not only we need to love God, but we also need to love one another. In 1 John chapter 5, in fact, I think we should start from chapter 4, verse 20-21. Can we read through that? First John chapter 4, verse 20-21 to chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 5. As I know you have many different versions, so I will read it from my scripture, which is in New King James. Just listen to me. Chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So this morning I'm going to focus on this passage from verse 20 of chapter 4 to chapter 5, verse 5. And next week, when Brother Neil comes back here, he will continue sharing from verse 6 to the end of the chapter. So what is 1 John 5, verse 5 verses and the last two verses of chapter 4 trying to teach us? It tells something about the new birth. It tells something about faith and tells something about love. And I mentioned that in the introduction of 1 John is that John always wander off and talk about other things, and he always come back to the thing that was important. And here he come back again and emphasize on the things about love. Let me ask you a question. Did the Bible say doing God's commandment equal to loving God? Yes? No? Okay. Remember, yes, hello? I thought you raised your hand. Now, remember, there was a rich young man who came to the Lord Jesus. Okay. He wants to have eternal life, didn't he? And is he a good man? Yes, very good man. And he said, good teacher. And Jesus said to him, there's no one good. What do you call me good? Only God is good. But he said, how should I inherit eternal life? Then he said to him, Jesus said to him, keep God's commandment. Keep all his commandments. He said, this I have done so from the very young. So this good young rich ruler, he loved God. Does he love God? Well, sounds like he does because he keep all his commandments. Yihai. That's right. Very good. Yes, very good. So now this young rich ruler shows that keeping commandment doesn't necessarily equal to loving God. Because here he keep all commandments of God, but he did not love God more than he loved his money and his possessions. Yeah. Now, but there are elsewhere in the scriptures that say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, so what's the difference there? Okay, the Pharisees also keep God's commandment, didn't they? They keep all the commandments except the most important one, that's to love God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength, and to love others as themselves. They could not do that. But they did keep most of the commandments, including all the regulations set down by the Pharisees. So there is a problem there. But here, in 1 John chapter 5, he says that, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now, what John is trying to say to us, if you are truly born again, then God's commandments to you are not burdensome. They are not troublesome. They are not heavy. Because in your heart, because you love God, you are willingly wanting to keep God's commandment. You love to do His commandments. Isn't it? Psalm 48. Chapter 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, for your law is hidden in my heart. Okay? The psalmist says, I delight to do your will, because your law is in my heart. Because God is today writing His commandments on the heart of everyone who believes in Him. No longer on tablets of stones. No longer external that you need to look and obey. But it's written within the hearts of everyone who believes in Him. And if you really love God, you say, God, I want to do your will. No longer a burden, no longer a problem, no longer too heavy, but it's something that is easy. That's the difference. That's the difference between a true child of God and someone like the rich young ruler who loved God, but not as much as he loved his money. And in the end, he had to walk away sorrowfully, sadly. In fact, you even feel sad for him. Because Jesus also loved him. But Jesus will not compromise between loving him, loving God, and loving your money. And then 1 John chapter 5, he continued to say this. He said that Verse 4, for whatever or whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now here, John continued to go on and say, if we are truly born of God, if we truly born of God, then we will have faith. Okay? Through that born-again process that we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. And by that confession, we will make a child of God. And being made a child of God, we will therefore have the fruit of our being born again, that is faith. And that faith helps us to overcome the world. Now, David, what do you think the world is? Remember what John said before? Whoever loves the world, he said, the love of the Father is not in him. And what is the world? He said, the worlds are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust after things that you do not have, and being proud of things that you already have. And this is the world. And John said that whoever was born of the Father, he will have faith that can overcome this world. Now, what's the problem with the rich young ruler? He has a problem with all three of them. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He was proud of what he has owned, and he could not let go of it. So therefore, he did not have the faith to fully obey God's commandments and love God with all that he has. And he had to go away sorrowfully. The Pharisees could not love God because they are proud of their knowledge. They're proud of their traditions. They're proud of what they have, their status. They even pretend to wash their face. They even pretend not to wash their face and stand on the street corner and pray. And so that people can see that they are godly people. And when they are fasting, they make sure that everyone knows about it. They could not truly overcome the world because their faith is fake. It's not real. It's not genuine. The child of God that was born of God has a genuine faith that overcomes the world. This morning coming to church in the car, I have a fabulous disagreement with my daughter and my wife. And of course, I speak in a very stern way, like usual, and that causes them grief. And I know that I could not stand up here and start speaking to you unless I first reconcile to my daughter. I have yet to reconcile to my wife, who is sitting there, because I don't have a chance. I was teaching Sunday school. And I know that because in me there is a life, in them there is a life, and that life belongs to the Lord Jesus. And that life wants us to love one another. How can I say that I love God if I can't love my daughter and my wife, whom I can see? That's exactly what John was saying. How can you say that you love God? How can you say that you have faith? How can you say that you can overcome the world if you can't love one another and love me? So it's very, very important to pay attention to what John is emphasizing here. There is a key. Just like Yusuf Rodney has found out, the key to love is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ through the energizing of the Holy Spirit within his heart to enable him to love. To love his fellow Muslims. To preach the gospel to them, even though he might have be in danger to be killed by them. But because of his love for them, he's willing to take that risk. How about you? Ihai, does loving Etienne cause you to have the danger of losing your life? No. Because he's your brother, right? He's sitting next to you and it's easy to love him. Except when you're fighting for the same chocolate, all right? Or the same toy, maybe. But you see, loving him, you do have to pay a big price for it. But sometime along the road, when you're older, maybe there's some price you have to pay. You might have to give up things that you love in order that he may have it. Okay? And here, Yusuf Roni willing to risk his very life to share the gospel because of the love that convicted him. And he knows that if he can't love, then he can't say that he is a true child of God. But each of us had this problem. I had this problem this morning. I could not love my wife or my daughter in the car. So sometime, each of us will struggle along the road, say, oh, that person. It is hard. It is hard to love that person because he is so annoying and he keeps causing me problems. Would you have that problem? Do you have that problem? I do. What happened then? Does that prove that I'm not a child of God? Does that prove that I do not have faith? Okay, yeah, it's what you do with that feeling, isn't it? It proves that we are not complete. It proves that we are imperfect. Did God expect us to be perfect Christians? No, he doesn't. But at the same time, the Bible shows us that there's someone that we can look up to, and that in him, we are able to love. Our own love is imperfect. Our love is quite pitiful. But in him, we have that perfect love. That's why he keeps telling us, abide in him, abide in him, abide in him. He keeps telling us many, many times. We need to abide in him. Brothers and sisters, until we see the Lord Jesus face to face and be transformed and totally transfigured just like he is, we will love in an imperfect love if we just rely on ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we realize that we will fail from time to time, but we have to advocate our Lord Jesus Christ to look up to and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I'm unable, but you can make me able. Remember the father who brought his son to the disciples? His son was possessed by demons and the disciples could not cast him out. And what did Jesus say? Jesus called them a generation of unbelief, people who unbelieve. And then Jesus asked the father, do you believe? And the father said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Brothers and sisters, that is the same way we come to the Lord Jesus Christ when we talk about loving other people, loving brothers and sisters, loving one another. Lord, I can't, but help me. Because when we look to the Lord Jesus and abide in him, you suddenly discover that we truly can overcome the world. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can love. We can overcome the world. We can overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life. So the question then, go back to you, is that are you willing to? Are you willing to abide in him and look to him as the only source of life, the only source of love, and hang on to that until that day we can see him face to face and know that we are fully accepted by him? That's where I'm going to stop here today, that 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 4, 5. Any questions? No, I'll stop here. Yeah, let's pray. I'll just have a prayer. Yeah. Lord, we thank you that this time we can focus on chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 5, and the last two verses, chapter 4. We thank you that you have given us a key to the testimony of John, that we can see that he is someone who is really close to you and really know you personally. Teach us all, Lord, to know you personally as well, and to be able to love you with the love that you've given us. Teach us to differentiate between doing your commandments and to actually doing loving you. Help us, Lord, to really know you as our Savior, not just as salvation, but as our Savior all through the life, our life, until we see you face to face. Save us, Lord, from our unbelief and our inability to love. For in you we can find completeness, for you are our advocate, someone who will defend us. We thank you, Lord. In your most precious name. Amen.